podcast, the Pick Control podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper.
Matt Moore, you are both going to game seven and eliminated. How's it going?
I'm throwing my coach under the bus is what I'm doing.
That's what you should do. You've been out-potted. You've been out-tweeted.
So we got, what, three teams dead? Lakers, Bucks, and Nuggets?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it makes sense. Props to the Warriors, man. Amazing run.
I was really surprised with last night because I thought they played horribly on offense. I mean, I thought both teams had a really good defensive game. And I just didn't expect the Warriors to win a game like that.
Yeah, they got hot in that third quarter, the entire series. And that's all they needed was to get hot for 12, 14 minutes to be able to put some distance. And then Denver in a game like that where they're not hitting shots anyway, nobody was hitting shots, Denver's not going to get hot. Like, Iguodala did his thing. But other than that, like, nobody's going to come up. You know, Wilson Chandler playing like crap in the series, which, like, really isn't going to get any of the attention in all this. But, like, if you talk about guys that really have sucked in the playoffs, I've been really disappointed with Wilson Chandler for a guy that I like a lot.
Yeah. He had a pretty rough series. I mean, he had some big shots here and there, but for the most part, he's just not consistent at all, and that team just can't shoot.
Nope.
They can't shoot from the outside, they can't shoot from the free throw line, and those are just two very important areas to be able to hit in today's NBA.
Yeah, they talked about that in preseason. Carl said the things he was worried about were, the first thing he said was shooting. That was his biggest concern, and they got through the year because they created shots inside, and it would seem like that's a good tactic to create shots at the rim but it just, you need, in a series like this, when you're facing a great shooting team, you got to have some weapons on your side, and they just didn't have any guns.
I wrote that, Steph Curry wasn't an all-star this year, but he became a star in this series. But as great as Curry was, they don't win that series without Andrew Bogut being awesome. I mean, he was unreal in Game 6.
Bucks fans have got to be like, what the hell, man? not just from the, because it's going to, the story is like, well, he was hurt. It's like, no, when he was healthy, he wasn't this. He was never this. He has never been this. He was that was like a top five center performance last night.
Yeah, I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, he looked like he was moving really well. And
because he got shot up with painkillers.
Right, which helps. We saw that with Deron Williams for the second half of the season.
He almost didn't play because of the amount of painkillers they had to give him.
Right. I think that, if he can have this kind of effort where he's moving without pain, even if it means an awful painkiller addiction in the future, he's a top three or four center in the league. Like, he's that good. He's so skilled passing the ball. His hands are so good. That was the thing that amazed me. It's like, yeah, he had 21 rebounds, but he didn't have to fight that hard for the rebounds. It seemed like once they hit his hand, it was just like a suction cup.
Nuggets lost the series because the Warriors shot exceptionally well, just really focused in and hit all their shots. So I could say that and say that the officiating was not the reason they lost last night or the series. And also comment, good God.
I have no idea what the officiating was doing last night. I mean, I said it to you at 7 point. I was like, I have no idea what's a foul right now.
The out-of-bounds call, which has been – Kimberger dissected last night. There's a give-up on SB Nation, which clearly shows, the ball just – because that was the thing is they were like, well, was it in the cylinder or was this happening or who's it off of? And I'm like, it never went out.
Right.
It never went out of bounds.
It looked like it got really close to the line. But that was confusing.
Go to the replay!
That was the weird thing, is that Danny Crawford just seemed like, no, we've got it. That was out of bounds. And it didn't seem like Denver protested that much. I mean, what can you do at that point? But I feel like you've got to, I don't know, just continue to, fight that call or something.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But what can you do? I mean, if they refuse to go to the replay... I don't know.
It's like, what are you gonna do? We're gonna just sit in.
I don't know. You can't file a protest right then, or I don't know what the course of action is.
So we'll talk Warriors Spurs on Monday to start looking at that series. You and I's initial impressions are, you got Spurs in six.
Yeah.
Spurs in six, and you're at 50%.
Yeah, I don't feel great. I'm pretty sure they'll win the series. I guess you don't fully know how the Warriors will react to them, but they're such a better team defensively than Denver, and it's not Denver is bad, but they played bad defense in the series.
Yeah,
for most of it. The last two games they played phenomenal defense. I thought I was really impressed the last two games, but they needed it much more than the last two games. And San Antonio is a better defensive system, I think, for handling perimeter attacks. And they are a really good three-point shooting team. They're a better three-point shooting team than the Warriors are.
And yeah, something that we didn't really talk about after Game 5, and this needs to be addressed, his synergy numbers are kind of covered up. Steph Curry is a horrible defender.
I don't agree with that. I think Lawson's really? I think Lawson's a bad cover for him. But I don't think he's a horrible defender. I think he's very middle of the road.
They play him on Iguodala, and Iguodala, I mean, I know Iguodala's got the size advantage, but Iguodala just blew past him.
Well, yeah, Iguodala's like 6'7", you know, like maybe 45 pounds heavier than Steph Curry.
He just blew past him in terms of speed. Like Curry was just like, oh wait, where'd you go?
I think that's a very unfair matchup to peg on Curry.
Well, he should be better against Tony Parker then.
No, that's going to be I mean, he's going to struggle with quicker guys. Guys with really good first steps. Like, he's just – I think he's
guys that are bigger or faster than Curry.
Yeah, I don't think he's Kyrie Irving out there. Like, I think he's a very middle-of-the-road defender.
No, he's been in the league longer. So.
But even then, like, he wasn't that bad of a defender as a rookie.
I think Parker Curry will be very entertaining because can Parker contest better?
No.
Just get out of the ball rack.
I mean he is bigger, but I think just that San Antonio is not going to let him, not going to let Curry come cleanly off those screens.
Yeah,
they do a good job of helping off the screen to kind of take away that initial passing angle. To where it might put Curry out an extra foot or two, or give an extra foot or two for Parker to catch up, or if they put Kawhi Leonard, like I would just put Kawhi Leonard on him.
Yeah, I don't like that because I think that you get caught in the same situation you had in this series, which is when Iguodala is covering Curry one on one, it was fine, but then they always ran him off a screen, and now your best help defender has been neutralized.
Yeah, but you could also switch stuff with him and Danny Green.
That's true. So we'll talk about more of that Monday. Andre Miller tossed George Karl under the bus, which was like...
I understand George Karl's done nothing for him this year in terms of... It's not like he said he was their best player or their real all-star. Or top 5 point guard ever. Like, it's not like he said any of those things. So if I were Andre Miller, I'd also throw him under the bus. It's not like Andre Miller went out there and basically lost Denver a series or anything. None of that stuff happened. So those comments are completely fair and in bounds.
It's amazing to me because I haven't understood this Andre Miller thing for the entire time. He had all the success last year with playing with Lawson, and should be like, yeah, this is like Jared Jack's. Like, yeah, like I like playing with Curry. Like, even if he doesn't pass to him enough for Warriors fans' preference, like it's still a really great combo. And Jack's very supportive of Curry. And Miller, at the start of the year, I expected to come into this team and be like, I have Andre be like, yeah, you know, Ty's just so good at X, Y, and Z. And instead, Andre was like, well, I don't know if they were really that good. I think on my own, I was like, what? And then, you know, throughout the season, Andre has been like, yeah, I guess we're okay. It's like, well, you won 12 games in January. Yeah, we're fine. And then, like, George Karl constantly. Like, I would ask things like, so, Corey Brewer was great defensively tonight. Yeah, I think Andre Miller really helped us. It was like, what?
Is it just that they're the same age?
I don't, you know, maybe that is. Maybe it's like a grumpy old men kind of thing, but yeah. It's just amazing to me that he defended him, and then, and like, I tried to say this when I wrote about it this morning on CBS, that Miller's not wrong. Karl got out coached.
Oh, absolutely. You don't say that, though.
Like, yeah, exactly. There's things you don't say, and it's just mind-boggling to me, because in free agency after last year, he said, I want to go to a contending team. I don't want to be a part of this team with no superstar. Like, I want to start for a contending team, and I was like, hey, well, if Miami doesn't want Chalmers after his, you know, they want to upgrade him considering the Heat hate him. You know, maybe Andre Miller is a good selection because it's not like, you know, they've got perimeter defenders to cover for him.
Right.
maybe that would work. And instead, he signs a multi-year deal with Denver. And I didn't understand it for Denver, and I didn't understand it for Miller. And then Miller comes in, and it's like, I almost think that it's like Miller realized he could make more money, and then has been doing nothing but trying to get out. Because he had comments in the Colorado Springs Gazette this year talking about how he doesn't think this team can win, and obviously everyone's going to go, well, they couldn't, but it's like, well, no, I'm sorry. If they wound up, like, they made the crucial mistake of beating out the Clippers and Grizzlies.
Right.
Like, their brutal mistake was being better than their closest competitors and winding up in the 3-6 versus a 4-5 matchup. Like,
right.
that's pretty crazy because, you know, I'm pretty sure that, I'm trying to think, like, you know, Quincy Pondexter's no Draymond Green from the outside. So,
I have a question for you. You know, it seemed like they were angling to play Houston, right?
Yeah.
But with what we've seen, I know it wouldn't be the same deal and it's not in a vacuum and everything, but I'm just curious, like, with what we've seen from Houston, as much of an outlier as it might be because of the injury to Russell Westbrook, do you think that would have been a much more competitive series than we assume?
No, because I saw what Andre Iguodala did to James Harden.
Yeah, oh yeah, I guess that's a better matchup for Iggy than, because that's a lot of isolation stuff and it's like, not running him off screen. That's a good point.
Harden can't shoot from anywhere, and Curry can literally shoot from anywhere no matter what you're doing. Like, no matter what you're doing, he can get his shot off because of his release. And, again, he found open shots last night. But there was one where, like, he came off the pick and was leaning forward, moving sideways. It was a diagonal leaner.
Yeah.
And just chunk. It's like...
You know, maybe this is me being... just so wrapped up in Curry this year because, you know, I love me some shooters. But it seemed like when he hit that first three in the third quarter, like, all immediately what clicked in my head was, uh-oh.
Yep.
Like, this now it's on. And then he hits the second one. You're like, okay, here we go. Now it's a Golden State run.
Yep.
He just has that – he has that amazing ability to where once he hits the first one – and it's the man. It's not just like he hit a spot up three or something. It's where he hits that coming off the dribble, and you're just like, oh, that looked like perfect rhythm. Like that looked like he's ready to go on a run.
It was, you know, they picked up like Free got two fouls in the first 25 seconds, and then all of a sudden all the defensive rotations are off, and then never just like the defense just imploded. It was
the third foul he picked up was absolutely ridiculous. That he picked up two quick ones in the second half, to his third and fourth foul. And the fourth one I thought was bad, but on the replay you can see he clearly grabs, I think, Landry's arm. I think they were tussling. He grabs his arm on the rebound. That was a legit call. But the one before that, I think it was on a screen or something, but it was just an awful, awful call. The officiating was so bad, I thought, for both ways last night. Like, that's just, you don't want to see it. Between that and then, like, the Hawks-Pacers series where they're calling everything,
yep.
Like, there's got to be some middle ground.
Yep. So they could all play well. If you were him, would you opt out?
Absolutely. Yep. I don't think that means you leave.
You should opt out and get the money. Like,
you opt out and you get the longer deal. You're going to give up money for next year, but I just think it's such a smart business decision, especially – there are teams that have positioned themselves this offseason to have a lot of cap room, but now I think we've reached the point in the CBA where teams have to hit that 90% floor. They have to spend at least 90% of the salary cap.
Yeah.
And so that just means like there are so many teams heavily under that if he's fine settling to go to Cleveland, if he's fine settling to go to Utah, he might end up getting himself, you know, a $14 million a year deal over 3 or 4 years just because teams are going to have to reach that ceiling or that floor of salary cap. And I mean, you might get Denver to spend the money. Like he had a very good year.
I think it's really going to come down to, I mean, there's always things that can happen, but from where I'm at right now, assuming no major shakeups are made, I from having talked to him, I believe that he won't consider a team that's in the lottery.
Yeah.
And I don't even consider that. I don't think he'll even target a team like Atlanta. I don't think he's going to get suckered in by the idea of being on. I think he really wants to be on a loaded team that's ready to go.
I know it's not ideal, and it's just something we've seen in this series. But what if the Rockets went with a, you know, a four wing one center attack and had Parsons and Iggy at the three, at the two forward, we'll just call them forward positions, with Harden and Lin and Ashik inside, and they just decide, hey, we'll bring our bigs, our big depth off the bench, but to start the game, we're going to run, we're going to be small, and we're just going to try to cause havoc. Like, that might be a smart place for him to go if he wanted to be a part of that.
I'm not sure Goodell wants to be have the ball out of his hands that much is the only thing that kind of makes me hesitate.
That's true.
Because he's such a good creator.
Yeah.
He really is. Like, I'd like to see his hockey assist numbers. So I wonder, like, at that component. I actually just thought of this. Do you know who's expiring this year?
Who?
Tony Allen.
Oh. They got a little flexibility.
They got a little flexibility because they got rid of you-know-who.
But they're worse without him. Look what they've done. They've struggled to a 3-2 lead in the opening round.
Yeah. Imagine, though. Imagine Mike Conley, Andre Iguodala at the 2, Poindexter at the 3, or you get another small forward that's a shooter.
I like this idea for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's a great fit. Two, I think it would be enough of a price hike for the team that they wouldn't go after Chase Budinger, which is personal to me. So I'm all for this idea.
I like this plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want the Grizzlies to lose Tony. I'd rather, like, it'd be preferable if it was Conley, Iguodala, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, and then everyone dies.
God, who would ever score on that team?
No one would ever score.
They'd give up. I mean, I know this is a terrible metric, but, like, they would give up 65 points per game.
We'll see Golden State shoot on that team. That's what I want to see. And then Brewer's going to be on the open market. Now, Brewer, I really like for Houston. I really like Houston to go after him at 4 years, 24. Get him on a four-year deal for six. Even if you want to do, like, a fourth year as a team option.
Yeah.
You can get Brewer in that kind of situation. Because Brewer, I think, recognizes he has to play for a fast team.
He has to.
And so, if he's on a team that's got tons of shooters anyway and he doesn't have to shoot, that could be helpful. Like, him as a bench guy in this kind of six-man role that he's been in, only as a perimeter defender.
Do you think it would be more beneficial for him, though, to stay with Denver?
It would be, but I don't – I gotta talk to some people and get a sense for what they're going to do in free agency. It's not that they don't want him back. They love him. Like, he played really well for them. He's still young. He's got a great attitude. He's a good locker room dude. But he's going to want the money.
Oh, sure. I mean, he's got to get a bigger contract at some point. Like, you don't want to nobody wants to become Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
Where you're just going small deal to small deal.
I think he's probably going to wind up in that kind of a situation. So I think that, you know, but I do think that he will target a team that is faster. I think he recognizes that he's got to be in that. He doesn't ever want to go back to ground and pound.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big thing for them. It sucks for them with Gallinari because they can't trade him because of the injury. That's a real bummer for them because I think that he would get a lot on the open market. Nuggets fans love him, and he's a huge part of their team. But I said this from the beginning of the year, Gallo always had more value as an idea than an execution.
Yeah.
Much like the Nuggets, they had more value as an idea than in reality.
Right.
So that's kind of a problem. Fareed is more of he's got more value in execution than an idea. And that's why it's really hard to move him. Like, I honestly don't think they can move him just from the perspective of the fans. They'd just be so pissed.
Well, I mean, you'd have to you'd have to package him and get a really good player in return. I just worry about what is that extension going to be. Like, it's not going to be a max deal, but he's going to command a lot of money because of that appeal you're talking about. And because he does produce, you know, numbers that get contract money.
I could also honestly see them. I mean, I think it's one where they're going to have to just, like, deal with it when it gets there. Because for them, I think it's really, look, if we're in a position where we're contending, if we've managed to get that star and we're at that level, well, yeah, we'll pay. Like, Kroenke didn't have a problem with paying. Kroenke doesn't want to pay.
Oh, sure.
And so, like, if that's the case, then it's like, well, yeah, I mean, he was an integral part of your run. We'll pay him. And then if they're not, if they're entering into a rebuilding mode, which will be about when that contract is up, then they can be like, well, okay, he got a max offer. Good for you. Like,
right.
Best of luck.
Right. If he gets a max offer, that's, jeez, that would be incredible. He would have. Yeah. He has a great agent if he gets a max offer.
I mean, I could see him getting 440. I could see him getting. Yeah, I could see him getting 10.
I think that's the absolute max I could consider.
Yeah, you and I tend to run about. There's about a 2 to 3 million differential in kind of where you and I are at on numbers. Yeah. You tend to run for like 8 to 9, and I'm usually at 11 to 12.
Yeah. I just feel like we've seen so many of those Al Harrington contracts.
Yeah.
That, and I think that's what does teams in, and not that he is a better player than Al Harrington, but for a specific skill set like that, J.J. Redick wants $10 million a year. Now, is he going to get that? Probably not. But all it takes is one GM to be like, no, I can build with that guy.
So let me run this by you.
Sure.
Jared Jack is Baron Davis.
Okay.
Stephen Curry have it all.
Sure.
Draymond Green is Matt Barnes. Do you remember how good Matt Barnes was in that 2007 series?
I remember how annoying he is. Draymond Green never stops talking, so yeah, I could see that.
You remember when Biedrins was good in that series?
Oh, I don't remember Biedrins ever being good.
He was good in that series. That's why he got the money.
I never thought he was good.
Biedrins is good in that series, but Biedrins is Andrew Bogut.
No, Bogut's way better than...
This is a better version, I'm just telling you. 4 years, they'll be getting together and talking about this playoff run when they don't make the playoffs again. No, I'm just kidding. No, they definitely make the playoffs again.
It's the Warriors. You never know. They do have a history of screwing things up mightily.
I do find it hilarious that Joe Lacob is like...
Oh, Jesus. I mean, good on him. Like, he's... help turn this organization around. He's kind of insane.
Warriors fans are kind of insane for booing him, though.
Well, sure. I mean, he got rid of Monte Ellis. Like, I do. You mentioned this earlier. I do feel bad for Bucks fans. It's like we traded Andrew Bogut, and all we got was this stupid Monte Ellis jersey. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty rough.
Well, it's also like at the time it didn't seem bad because it was like, look, Bogut can't. Stay on the floor, and he still can't stay on the floor. He just happened to. Like,
right.
It's insane what just happened. Like
even game five, he left.
Like Amex got a story on USA Today today about like, well, he really almost didn't play in game six.
Yeah,
and he dominated.
Yeah, he dropped 14 and 20.
David Lee came back.
David, all right, who shot him up with PCP? That's the only way he could come back from a torn hip flexor. I know he played a minute and a half. By the way, they were +1 in that minute and a half. He had a huge impact on them.
There are no words for what happened in the series.
No, it was crazy.
But as much as it may bug me, like that's sports and that's what makes it fun. Like in 2007, when I was just watching as a fan, it was incredible to watch. I'm sure Mavericks fans were like, "Are you kidding me?" You know, and then
someone tweeted me there, said something like, "Here's a comparison." Harrison Barnes is to Baron Davis as Tiago Splitter is to Andre Kirilenko. Like, book that. I was like, so the Warriors are going to lose? Because, yeah, he had that great dunk, but they lost that series.
Part of me is, you know what, though? It would kind of make sense because weren't the Rockets without Ming in that series? In their first round matchup with Utah?
Oh. I mean, I would just assume Yao Ming didn't play because he was often injured. I think that's right.
The Rockets were all banged up. The Lakers were all banged up. It's 2007 again, man. Happening again.
The Spurs are going to win the championship.
No. That's the thing. The Spurs are Utah.
So the Spurs are Utah? Then who is... Does that make the Grizzlies the Spurs?
Yes.
So the Grizzlies are going to win the championship?
Yes.
Against LeBron?
Yes. No. I don't know. Right.
That means Dwayne Wade is Booby Gibson.
Brooklyn, Chicago played, I guess.
Jesus. I mean, I know there's only one game left, so they have to end it, but I feel like they could figure out a way to go to a game 8. This thing won't end. Nobody's enjoying it.
Here's the thing. Like, you can't be mad at Chicago for not ending it. Like, Luol Deng had a spinal tap yesterday for meningitis.
That, you know what? I'd probably sit out with that.
He had a spinal tap.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose has a torn ACL. I don't remember if Gibson has the flu or his knee is bothering him. That's where we're to.
Nate Robinson is puking on the bench. Into a trash can. I can't even tell you how many times it came to me like 10 minutes after Nate Robinson, that shot of him, but I wanted to be like, I really wanted to tweet, it looks like bad shots aren't the only thing he's throwing up tonight.
See, I was gonna make a joke about how, oh look, Nate Robinson finally got a look at his shot selection.
Oh, just to let you know, the 2007 Rockets did have Yao Ming in the playoffs for 7 games.
What about T-Mac?
T-Mac for 7 as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's the rare one. That's the one year they had them both.
There goes that theory. Grizzlies are not winning the championship. Sad trombone.
I guess Miami can take it now.
But yeah, so all of these injuries, all of these maladies, Robinson's puking, and the Nets win by like 4.
Yeah, they were right in that game to the end.
And it ends on a jump ball.
Oh my god.
That just gets tapped out, they kind of stare at each other, and then run the clock out. Yeah. That's it.
That was a weird ending, and I did like the jump ball. Was it between Evans and Nate? Where Nate just ran away?
Yes.
Nate just ran to where the tip was. It's like, you can't do that. Like,
you can't do that.
Like, those are rules. Like, that's a rule you should know. You can't just run away from the tip.
I mean, does Brooklyn, is this finally?
They have to, right? You have to close out at home. Game 7 at home?
By the way, I have to ask you, which is better? I offer Contractolin. Or I was thinking maybe if we didn't want to go that way, like Brook contraction.
I don't know. Better. I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to contract the Nets if they don't win this series. I'm serious. If they don't win this series,
How about Billy King me?
Like if they don't win this series, we're just gonna forget about them like New Coke.
Clear Pepsi. Crystal Pepsi.
Clear, exactly. Crystal clear Pepsi. That's what we're going to do with them. Because if they lose this, like, it's like a great marketing idea. They had a lot of money behind it.
I do think Prokhorov made his money in bad idea jeans.
I mean, honestly, how could they not have won that game by more? Just, ugh.
I mean, unless there is a major injury to the home team, I always assume the home team is going to win a game 7. Like, it's just, the odds are so much in their favor. It rarely goes the other way.
The odds are ever in their favor?
They have to. They have to win. If they don't win, I don't ever want to hear another word about this team building toward a championship. I know there are baby steps. I don't expect them to be contenders now. But, like, against a Chicago team that is falling apart, like the characters in the movie Identity... There is no other option. You have to beat this team.
I'm waiting. I really am waiting for the next game with, like, I'm trying to think, like, who else is playing. Jimmy Butler has been ruled out with a case of leprosy.
I think Devin Karpersian tweeted that Luol Deng is out with an illness, so Tibbs is only going to play him 38 minutes tonight.
38 minutes. I want the Nets to win. Because I want it to be quick and painless second round.
Yeah, I just don't want to deal with the whole they stop the streak, they can win 4 games, like you mentioned the other day.
Yeah, I want it to be quick and painless. I want 4 blowouts, and then Miami can go back to... What, we have to wait another... Really?
Well, they're not going to sweep the Nets, right?
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, the Nets play, the best game the Nets played, they tied the game at 51-51 in the third quarter. The Heat then went on like a 27-2 run.
That's hard to win those games when you give up a 27-2 run.
It becomes difficult.
In the second half.
Not a lot of time to come back.
No, there's not. I mean, you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball there.
Okay, so tonight, let's see the terrible game first. The Hawks opened it at favored by 1. They're now favored by 2. This is definitely – the Hawks are definitely going to cover here because this series is definitely going 7 because we all hate it.
Yep. Yep. No, this will be – this game will – this series will be played on Sunday.
And maybe on Thursday.
Only one game tomorrow night. That's weird.
Yeah.
Just that game 7.
Just that game seven.
That awful game seven.
I'm definitely gonna talk to Royce and stick him with that because
I've got a charity benefit to go to.
You and I are using our excuses. You've got a charity benefit. Oh no, like my mother-in-law is just putting all sorts of pressure on me for this my kid's birthday party.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to be a bad father.
There you go. It's a good thing he hasn't listened to this podcast. listeners, nobody tell him. It's our little secret between us. Celtics are 2-point dogs tonight, man.
Another series that has to end. The Knicks are so much better than this battered Celtics team. If the Celtics were at full strength, then I would feel like, yeah, this should be happening. There's no reason.
I want the Celtics to win very badly.
I know you do.
I want that Game 7 as New York's collective Red Hot Chili Peppers logo puckers.
That's, that would be, oh my God. The Boston.
Goes 7, can you imagine a Game 7 up 3-0 in a Game 7?
Okay, I'm in. I want it to. I just want the ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah, I know going into the series you didn't want all the nonsense and the media stuff, but
Oh, I think I also picked Knicks in 7.
Hey!
Say! This is exactly how I thought it would be. You can't you can't prove that I didn't.
Man. Over-under is 181, man.
Oh my God. This is going to be an awful night of basketball.
So they're basically predicting a 93-90 Knicks win.
Yeah. What an awful, awful... I mean, I guess the late games will be good. Go out to an early dinner tonight, people.
Support your local establishment.
Yeah, you know? go to a local restaurant, not a chain, unless they're a sponsor of CBS.
You can keep an eye on it if you want to. Go look a pub with it.
You've got the smartphones and their text alerts. You can get one of those. You can set that up.
Not mad because I talked about the pub in Kansas City where I lived last year. There's this brew pub that was right around the corner from my house, and they did this roast chicken that was it was rosemary and herb stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so good. Missed that. My wife's gone tonight. I need to figure out something for dinner. What should I eat?
By the way, is it snowing for you as well?
It finally stopped after it dropped a foot on me. The last 2 days it's been thawing out. There's still snow all over the yards and houses, though.
Yeah, it's snowing here. It's great.
Yeah, May 3rd. Now you know my world.
So. May 3rd.
The Rockets are favored by one. The Rockets are favored by one. It opened at Rockets getting one. They're now giving one.
I feel so worried about this Thunder team. Like they look so bad on offense. And I know the defense is a problem too, but they just look so bad on offense. I don't know how they can get any kind of rhythm going.
I'm taking OKC.
I mean, I don't doubt you. I don't know that I would pick against them tonight, but like I'm worried about them.
I think OKC had a bad game. That's what I think happened. I think OKC had a bad game. They
certainly didn't have a good game.
And I think that they will. We talked about you love talking about rhythm shooters. I think they're going to get in rhythm tonight.
Yeah,
I think that they get in rhythm. I think that KD has a big game. I think that Ibaka has a big game.
Kevin Martin's got to get at least 18 points.
Who?
Kevin Martin.
Yeah,
he's got to score.
I think their defense probably steps up, and I think that I just think that. As much as it's like you see, it's this happens though. Like a team loses a couple games, and you start like, is the roster really good that good? But then I'm like, no, you know what? Serge Ibaka, Kevin Martin, Thabo Sefolosha, Kendrick Perkins, Nick Collison, Reggie Jackson.
But that's the thing is like it's not like if Houston was just hot shooting, I would get it. But they haven't shot the ball that well in this series. Like I know Cisco and I know Harden hit like 4 or 5 threes each last game, but for the most part, like they haven't shot the ball well from deep in this series, and it makes me think like that makes it even worse to me. They're just getting outplayed. It's not a style schematic thing.
Yeah.
I hope they can figure it out. I don't want Kevin Durant to not move on. Like I know this isn't tonight that he wouldn't move on, but like I want to watch Kevin Durant play as much as I can.
Can you imagine a Houston Clippers series?
Oh, my God. Patrick Beverley trying to hound Chris Paul. Chris Paul's going to punch him in the face.
We have to start separate threads every day outside the playoff machine just for flops.
Yeah, we would.
We'd have to just have a separate thing for flops all the way through.
We would.
And we could get like a little counter. I'm getting kind of excited. Like, yeah. Get a little counter at the top.
CBSSports.com flop machine.
Like now flop. We do like the now serving and only instead be like now flopping number 15.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm getting now kind of excited about
this. Yes. Go Rockets.
Okay.
The big one.
Today is the opening day of the Beale Street Music Festival in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
Which means that as we speak, people are filling in the rain, people are filling the streets of Memphis on Beale Street with open containers, most likely in the terms of the open public area of the establishment where the music is, and we'll be drinking and listening to music from now until game time. This isn't remarkably different from most days in Memphis,
right?
But it's going to be a little bit different from that day in Memphis. It's Grizzlies Day at City Hall, which that means nothing in terms of adding much, just to tell you the city notices what's going on. They hate this team. The team hates the Clippers. The fans hate the Clippers. This is about revenge for last year. It's about justification. It's about the Rudy Gay thing. The Grizzlies opened at 4-point favorites. They're up to 6-point favorites. Blake Griffin is a game-time decision.
The Blake Griffin thing, I think if he plays, that means he can play well. I would like to think the Zeebo comments will fire him up a little bit. And I think that could mean the Clippers win this game. But
a 180 over-under.
Yeah, I actually think it'll be a decently scoring game.
It's going to be an interesting test because we saw last night what happens when you get a team in an elimination closeout on their home floor in front of a raucous crowd and how momentum can start to completely override logic and officiating. That's going to be a big factor in this. The Clippers, the best thing that they can do is get Chris Paul and Jamal Crawford going early and build a double-digit lead. They need to get a 12 to 15-point lead in the second quarter. They can have it go down by half, but they need to establish a 12 to 15-point lead in the second quarter
at some point. I agree with that.
If you give Memphis an opportunity in the third quarter,
that's when they do it.
They're really dangerous. They're exceptionally dangerous. I think it could come down to a last shot. I think a 6-point differential is insane.
Yeah, I think this is a close game regardless of who wins.
But, you know, I will say, I'm writing this up right now. There's a lot on the line for both franchises beyond this season. Because there's been talk in recent days of, there was talk about how Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan didn't necessarily get along great to begin with, and it's ramped up, I've heard, in the last couple days.
Yeah.
But there's even more stuff with that. I don't see any scenario in which Chris Paul leaves. I just don't see any scenario. But it does cause a major reconsideration of who you are and what you do when you lose a 2-0 lead in the first round to a rival.
Yeah.
So there's a lot on the line here. And the Grizzlies, this is their game 6, because if they go back to, or the game 7, because if they go back to LA in game 7, I don't think they can close. I just can't see them getting another performance like they got in game 5. Now, I didn't see them getting that performance in game 5 either. It's really tough. This one is really tough.
I think the key actually tonight is that Chauncey Billups plays as little as possible.
I gotta ask you, man. A lot of people say that Willie Green needs to play. You are not a fan.
I am not a Willie Green fan, but he is better than Chauncey Billups.
That's where we're too. I wanted to see where we were at on that hierarchy.
Yeah, Chauncey Billups is a bad basketball player now. And I know I said that about Jason Terry a lot over the last month or two, and he stepped up in two throwaway games, essentially, to extend an excruciating series. Maybe Chauncey steps up, but he is – and I actually think this is a bad matchup for him, which is kind of contradictory to what he can do. I think he needs to play in an up-and-down style, even though he's old and slow, because when you ask him to grind stuff out, he just isn't good enough anymore. Like, physically, he's not capable of doing it. Skill-wise, he's not capable of doing it anymore. Like, this is an awful matchup for him.
They've got to get a big game from somebody in their front court. Somebody in their front court is going to have a big game, and I'm talking 15-plus. I don't think you can do it by committee.
No.
Because I think you have to get somebody that's going to be that guy that, oh, he really killed them in that game.
I mean, Blake needs to play, be good, and get 20. Or, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but their season hopes may rest solely on the skittled cover shoulders of Lamar Odom.
Odom, Hollins, Turioff. Who do you... That's the thing, is I made fun of the Clippers last year with Martin and Evans, but I'll take those guys in a heartbeat over Turioff, Hollins, and Odom at this point.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Because those guys at least have a specialty. Like, Hollins is an awful player. Turioff's an awful player. Odom should be good, but my God, he's been Kardashian'd.
Yep.
It's, that's a bad trio to have to rely on. I know he has his faults, but you have got to play DeAndre Jordan a lot more than you do. And he played a good amount of minutes last game, but this has to be a consistent thing for him to where he's comfortable in those minutes.
Chris Paul played 43 minutes last time.
Yeah.
He's looking tired.
Yeah, but he took February off.
This is a big game, I think, for Chris, too.
Oh, sure. This culture of analysis becomes so stupid because if a guy can't rescue a team by himself, which if Blake Griffin is hurt and not playing or not playing well, Chris Paul's doing this by himself. We've become so stupid with that it's like, oh, well, see, this guy isn't good. Like, when guys are in an absolutely favorable position against a team in the playoffs and don't come through, then you can start looking down that road. But Chris Paul has never been in that situation in his career. He's kind of in it now, but this is a very even matchup.
I think the big thing with him is I don't like him having to play these many minutes. Like, it's less a matter of – so it's like – I feel fine if you're like, look, we've got a game 7. We got to play LeBron 48.
Yeah.
I feel fine with that. If you tell me Chris Paul's got to play 45, 48 minutes, I'm like, yeah, I don't like that
idea.
Well,
I think it's more of a matter of how does he have to play in those 43, 45 minutes? Because if he has to attack constantly, then that's an awful thing. I agree with you. If he can lay back a little bit, kind of just direct, let Jamal Crawford go off, let Eric Bledsoe create a bunch of havoc and get a couple of turnovers and quick scores, you know, that's when it's fine. But if he has to do what he did last game of let me take 13 shots in the second half, he can't do that in the minutes. That's just going to be too much.
Eric Bledsoe, your contract may be determined tonight. You could get a max deal if you kill the Grizzlies tonight.
Yeah. People love point guards. They love paying point guards.
What's going to be the craziest arena tonight?
It would have to be the Grindhouse, right?
I think it's going to be close. I think that, you know...
It's either that or Atlanta. Atlanta's always great.
Somebody actually suggested that to me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the 14 people are going to be raucous there. They still have, like, thousands of tickets available.
Houston was saying that they had floating last game, so their response was bad last game, which I understand. But in general, Houston's been historically pretty good. They haven't been great about this team, oddly.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's been weird this year. It's like, this should be the team that you're nuts over.
Well, I think it takes time for a fan base to adjust, you know? Like no one expected this team to be good, so it's hard to, like, it's hard to get your expectations differently to go, oh, no, this is a good team. We should start going more. No, it's got to be the Grindhouse.
So you like the Clippers?
Oh, God, I don't... I mean, I like them to... It's 6?
Yeah.
I like them to cover, for sure. I don't know if they win.
I took them to cover. I lied. I took them to cover and lose, which may be a huge jinx on Memphis, but at some point I got to not do that and just play it straight up. And.
Yeah, God. I mean, Memphis is at home. They should win this.
Memphis is at home. They have the momentum. The Clippers aren't healthy.
Yeah, like they should. No, I'll pick the Clippers to cover, but Memphis to win. They should win this game because I don't think they're capable. There's a type of they have the right mentality to do it, but I don't think they win Game 7 in LA.
Okay, so let's close this one. You and I are going to do a fun off-season thing.
Oh, boy, I'm excited.
We're going to do a concast.
We're going to do such a concast.
Talk about some off-season stuff. We're going to start with the Wolves. We'll touch on some other stuff. So if you're listening online, which you have to be, check that out.
Refresh your iTunes.
We'll have another episode up soon. Thanks.
Thanks.